I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
It's one of these songs where if you're listening to it, but you're only like half listening in a car, you think, wow, hospital, nice voice, really sweet song, and then you hear the word fungus. Dr. Kevin Most joins us, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. John DeCuss singing live there a little bit, musical director for the program. Nice job, John. Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, John. Very talented man, Mr. DeCuss is.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Dear Lord.
Just to clear up the obvious here for a second, as I sound like I'm super sick today, I'm at that point in the cold where you sound much worse than you are, which is a bad time to have a radio show. But do you have anything for the voice that'll keep me going till 10?
Yeah, stop talking.
Okay, excellent. Let me write that down. Advice from my doctor. And I want to say hi to all the fine people from Mary and Joy and a bunch of your friends as well, because Northwestern Medicine is the proud proprietor of the Mary and Joy folks. Even though that's not the right word, you know, did I mention I'm getting over being sick? But the marriage, I think, was great. I think we raised a record amount of money and a lot of laughs.
That's great. You know, and we do appreciate it. And people probably don't know that side of you, Steve, and how many nights you are out actually emceeing and helping raise money for various charities. But I can tell you that Northwestern really appreciates everything you do for us, and I'm sure the folks at Mary and Joy are very happy this morning from a successful event.
Unnecessary, but nice of you to say. I will say that we all have gifts. My gift is to take money from rich people.
Yeah.
So that's legally. The one skill that I have. Yes, legally. Yeah. Let's talk about anxiety here. This horrific story in Texas, what happened in Las Vegas, the politics in this country, the screaming and yelling at each other. I don't think we've ever been more anxious as people, have we?
Probably not. And the thing that you just brought up is, if you think about the incidents that have happened, those are happening at places where we feel safe. We feel comfortable, in church, at a concert, on our jogging track. So now we're starting to see people getting anxious about places where they used to feel safe. That used to be a place I could feel safe, and now I'm not so safe.
So anxiety is, we know depression is obviously a legitimate condition. Anxiety is a respected, realized medical condition.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of anxiety. We all have anxiety. I mean, I'm sure something makes you anxious. Something makes you pause a little bit, take a couple deep breaths, and get you a little concerned. So every single one of us has anxiety. A portion of us have what we call anxiety disorder, and that's when it actually impacts your daily life. You don't want to go to work. You don't go to work. You won't drive over a bridge. You know, there's certain things that people will do where it starts to change their life when it goes from simple anxiety to an anxiety disorder.
So is this like a PTSD that won't go away?
Yeah, exactly. And have various triggers. So for PTSD, there are triggers, you know, and some of those triggers, you try to figure out what those are, and that's how you treat them. But for others, there's no logic behind it. For PTSD, you can at least feel the logic. Something very dramatic happened in your life, and now it makes you anxious. For other people, it's a common thing that occurs every day, and there's no logic behind why I get anxious from heights.
Right. Anxiety disorder, how common?
Very common. You know, in the United States, about 40 million people. And probably the biggest thing, Steve,
40 million? That's one in eight people.
Correct. Correct. And the biggest thing is that the vast majority of them don't get treated or treat themselves or try to treat themselves, and yet some of their own treatments are actually detrimental to their health.
Well, let's talk about that, because is this a talk therapy thing, a meds thing, maybe both?
It can be. It can be the entire extreme. You know, sometimes it can be something, you know, just as simple as, you know what, I want you to change your life a little bit. I want you to decrease your alcohol and caffeine. I want you to eat well. I want you to sleep, and I want you to exercise. Simple things like that can help people deal with stress and can help people deal with anxiety. You know, some of the simple things that even the psychotherapists and the family doctors are going to teach you. Let me teach you how meditation can help you. Let me teach you how yoga, something simple like that, can help you. And really, the behavioral therapy of knowing what the trigger is, and when that happens, what are we going to do to get your mind thinking about something else or get you into an activity at that time that's going to keep you away from being anxious?
Here's some of the things that may be indicative of the condition we're talking about. Feeling restless, having insomnia, a sweaty, tingly situation in your hands or feet, dry mouth, racing thoughts, unwanted thoughts that are tough to shake, excessive worry, shortness of breath, chest pain, palpitations, poor concentration, an overall feeling of anxiousness. I guess I'd add one more, a feeling of hopelessness.
Yes, yeah. And hopelessness is the one that we really get concerned, because then anxiety starts to morph into depression. And at those cases, at those people, individuals were very concerned about. You list those symptoms. And one thing I would say to people is, you know, people say, oh, I know that. Yeah, I've had that. Make sure you check with your doctor, because some of those are we're concerned about. Shortness of breath, chest pain, palpitations. Okay, yeah, that can be anxiety, but can also be heart disease. So we want to make sure that we eliminate some of those. And actually, those are some of the great triggers that bring people into the doctor's office that say, you know what, I'm reassuring you, this is not heart disease, but let me talk to you about anxiety now, and really will make an impact on their life.
Talk about how you can do that medically the right way and how people are doing it the wrong way after we take care of traffic from Mary. What do you have? More with Dr. Kevin Most. And, you know, Doc, this discussion could spill over into the sexual harassment conversation as well, but I want to stay on the anxiety piece for a second. You mentioned people treat this incorrectly. What do they do?
Well, some of the incorrect treatment that they're going to do is they're going to start to use alcohol more often. They're going to use
self-medicate.
Correct. And inappropriately, you know, stimulant medication, more tobacco use. They're going to try to not worry about sleep and not allow sleep to occur. So they're going to stay more active, doing things that are going to keep them up. And sleep deprivation is very important. They're not going to exercise. We're getting to a very sedentary lifestyle here, portion of you. And then two probably big things is having a very negative mindset and letting yourself be a victim. Those are two that we need to step up and say, you know what? You have to change that a little bit. You have to have a little bit more positive outlook. People often won't be able to do that without professional help, though.
Is there a specific medication? You know, medication isn't going to solve this, but is there a specific medication that helps?
Well, the beauty of it is that when you sit and talk with a physician and a doctor, and he's going to get the whole picture, and there are medications that help. There are medications that are just used in anxiety situations. There are others that are antidepressant medications that also help with anxiety that can be taken on a more regular basis versus I'm going to get on an airplane and I'm afraid of airplanes, therefore I'm going to take this medication at this time. Versus you have a generalized anxiety disorder, and we're going to put you on a medication that has very low side effects but may help you deal with the anxiety. So the doctor has a wide choice of medications if it gets to that point.
And there are no supplements that we're aware of that you can go, well, I'll just go to the CVS or Walgreens and grab this.
No, you know, but I would say that, you know, eating properly is key to this.
Eating and exercise, right?
Absolutely. Having a good balanced diet, taking a multivitamin. Don't let your body start to get run down, because it's only going to feed into the mental portion of it as well.
John is in front of crowds all the time. You had a panic attack, huh?
Well, and that's what I wanted to know, the difference between a panic attack and anxiety, because I was, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years. Here's a room. I'm doing a corporate show, 800 people. And I started to think about what I do for a living, that none of these people knew me. They were counting on me to entertain them. And I'm like, what is going on? I had to leave the room and then come back later, as I had to get out of my mind. So what's the difference between
exactly.
panic and anxiety?
So a panic attack is essentially anxiety on steroids. That's the ultimate point of where it gets to a point where you are almost non-functional and you can't think properly and you can't. Most people, when they're anxious, can at least logically think and move through things. When it gets to a point of a panic attack, you push yourself to a point where you have no control. You don't have control of yourself. You don't have control of your environment. And that can be concerning depending on the situation. Often it's embarrassing as well, which makes it even more difficult to step back out of it.
What do you say to an anxious kid to, if not help, at least not make it worse?
Yeah, Steve, the kids are a big concern right now. With news media being 24/7, you can't turn on the TV this morning without hearing about Texas. It's on every single channel.
Sure.
Now, you got to remember that a lot of these kids, younger kids, are watching that, possibly having breakfast, getting ready to go to school, and they say, wow, I was just in church yesterday, and this all happened in church. Their world is so much smaller. They don't get the grasp of how big this country is, how big the world is, and therefore they compartmentalize it down to their point. And that's a little bit concerning. So I try to tell parents, you know what? Bad incidents like this happen. Watch it in the evening. You don't need to know today, right now, what's going on. Watch it in the evening when your child is asleep. Try to keep them away from that and talk about more positive things. If you have to expose them to it, explain to them as much as well as you can that this is a small incident. It happened thousands of miles away. They're still safe here. They're still safe at school. But it's very difficult, and minimizing the exposure to kids is probably the biggest thing.
Last question, and this relates more to the sexual harassment story, but the anxiety piece certainly could be applied to it as well. But I think it's important for people to know that when a friend comes to you and says, I had an incident at work, this happened or that happened, there could be a need for medical attention. How do you know when to tell your friend, we got to go to the hospital?
Yeah, and it's with all the work, or excuse me, with all the stories now about sexual harassment, we have to remember that there's a victim, and the victim is that individual who's reaching out. And people that reach out to their friends have to realize that the friends aren't experts, and the friends have to realize that they're not an expert, because these people actually need treatment. They just don't need to say, you know what, this person did this to me 5 years ago, 2 weeks ago, continues to do it every day. That individual needs treatment because they get depressed. They have anxiety. They have guilt. They have embarrassment. So we're talking about the individuals who do it, but we have to remember that they had the second victim. So when a friend comes to you and shares that with you, make sure you get them into their doctor. Help them get to their doctor. Their doctor is going to kind of discuss things with them. Assuredly, there's the reporting side of it, but someone's got to make sure that we're dealing with the individual in the physical and mental side of it. These people have high stress. They're very anxious. They can have stomach pain. They can have weight loss. They won't want to go to work. Some of the similar things we're talking about with anxiety. They can have guilt. Professional help is much more important. So as a good friend, if someone does this and comes forward to you, be consoling to them, but make sure they get professional help. Make sure they get in to get treated.
Yeah, the thing that I have learned is it's not about how I feel because my friend's upset. It's about how they feel. So shut up, listen more, don't offer advice that is not helpful, like, oh, I wouldn't say that, or I don't know if I'd do that, or walk it off or snap out of it. None of that's helpful. If they've come to you, they've already, and by the way, because they've already thought of all of that. So if they come to you, they're looking for you to listen and, you know, to just hear them out, and then you can provide some resources, and obviously professional help being first. Doc, good stuff. Thanks as always.
You got it, man. Talk to you soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Mary will update your traffic in the news in just a couple of minutes, which is after this.